serving up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay.
Hello there, and welcome to the Cleveland Browns, Mr. Corey Coleman, the wide receiver out of Baylor, who scored not one, not two, not 10, not 15, but 20 touchdowns in eight games a year ago. As Hugh Jackson said, you ready to run past some people and score touchdowns, the electrifying receiver coming to the Cleveland Browns. And I'll tell you what, all I wanted was the Browns to trade back and take a playmaker, and they did that. We can argue about if Dotson was the right pick or Treadwell. Listen, they are the ones who are putting their name. He was the top receiver on the board. There's no debate about that because he was the first receiver taken, and they took Corey Coleman, the Browns, getting a playmaker they so desperately needed.
And let's just put out the information for all those people who go to other shows for information or analyzation about what the Cleveland Browns are going to do.
All right, you going to
50% of 50% of this radio show said trade back, take a wide receiver, and the other 50% picked the wide receiver that we would take. Why listen to anybody else for anything Cleveland Browns?
Matt Wilhelm, I don't want you to toot your own horn, but toot toot, motherfucker.
Beep beep. That's classic. I've never heard that before.
Yes, atta baby. And the kid is in the house today, kid.
I could not be more excited. In fact, I brought all sorts of props. I had to bring my own gumballs because Gumball Todd
yes.
once again did not come
Drop
through.
Drop the ball. He's saying Monday.
I don't believe it.
We're ready to party on Friday. It's draft weekend.
Yeah. First of all, the kid is a Friday man. So if Gumball Todd wants to bring the gumballs in, it's got to be on a Friday.
And I did bring in my jersey, and I'll make this proclamation on the air. As everybody knows, I'm not a jersey-wearing man. However, that jersey will be worn for the first Cleveland Browns playoff game of the Sashi Brown regime.
Oh, the kid. You are not a jersey man.
And I will be wearing that jersey very soon.
Will you have a shirt under your jersey?
Probably in Cleveland.
I mean, I'm guessing.
Playoff time.
I'm guessing, yes.
Okay. Will you travel for the first playoff game?
Absolutely.
Okay, no question.
No question about it.
Oh, all right. So tickets will be hard to come by.
As long as they don't put me in the last row of the stadium like they did in Cincinnati.
Well, we'll get you tickets, real tickets. I mean, that's what the home team does.
AmazingTickets.com.
Yeah, that's right. Our guy Mark. Talk to Mark Klang.
I will be. Mark Klang has never done anything but make me happy with tickets. That ticket at the top of the stadium didn't make me so happy.
Well, blame the Cincinnati Bengals. That's what they
do to the
visiting team.
I blame the dollar bill and the Bengals.
So when you look at what's happened, let's just kind of start at the top level. 2 weeks ago, the Browns held the number two pick in the 2016 NFL draft. Now that round one is over, they have Corey Coleman, who they deemed the top playmaker and wide receiver on their draft board, addressing the biggest position of need. And by the way, let me just say this. It boggles my mind sometimes that all Browns fans have been doing is complaining that the Browns haven't taken receiver. They trade back. They take the top receiver on their board, and people are saying, well, they took the wrong receiver. Well, I like Dotson. I get it, but you know what? He's 23. Corey Coleman is 21, and he's an explosive athlete and a playmaker. And what I wanted more than anything, I don't care about names, give me a playmaker.
Okay, here's the thing. And I am more of a Kool-Aid drinker, but if you're a true Browns fan, you've looked at the Browns trading back before and making the wrong picks. It's just going to have to be proven. And they could have picked Dotson, and people would have said they should have picked Treadwell. They could have picked Treadwell, then people said they should have picked this guy. It doesn't matter. They were going to complain no matter what. The proof is going to be in the pudding. These players, I love to trade down, but you got to perform.
I agree, and I think, and there were some great points that we made last night that I listened to, you know, driving home to the draft show that I was going to say the really big show, but, you know, Riz and Hammer and Gerard and those guys were talking about. And I think sometimes, because we are professionals in what we do and why we analyze, and we know the names of a lot of people at almost every position. And I think if you were in tune, you know, hit and miss in watching the NFL Network or watching the or ESPN as they highlight some of the top players, you got hit over the head with Laquon Treadwell, Megaquan, and it became a household name to a lot of people. So in their minds, to think we didn't get the name that I've heard so much about,
sure,
they feel like we're missing out on something, when ultimately Hugh Jackson, Andrew Berry and his team, Sashi Brown, Paul D. Podesta got the guy that they wanted first.
And
the same way that we went and sought out Hugh Jackson, and Hugh Jackson wanted to come here as much as we wanted to go get Hugh Jackson, that's this new regime getting the right guy to lead this football organization. And now we've got the number one guy that we wanted. This is not settling for, you know, Mike Pettine down the road, who was our fifth choice. We sought out
this
guy.
Unless you ask Nate. I think also, though, Treadwell, and just from a common man's perspective, I heard more about Treadwell than Coleman or Doxson or anybody. And in years past, I think a lot of those guys that you hear so much about but then end up slipping, there ends up being a reason. Maybe they're just a half a step too slow. Maybe they're not. Maybe Treadwell will be great. But a lot of times I'll a year later say, oh, man, I love that guy. But, boy, the professionals really knew there was a reason that guy slid to the second round rather than being taken as the first receiver. And I would say that, you know, obviously you look at it from a more educated eye, and you were screaming about Coleman a couple weeks ago.
I was. And listen, this is a guy, 5'11", basically the same size as I got a tweet, basically the same size, and I'm not saying, again, not saying he is going to be Odell Beckham, but basically the same size as Odell Beckham. That's what he brings to the table here for the Cleveland Browns. Here are just the measurables. Odell Beckham, 5'11", 198. Coleman, 5'11", 194. 40 time, 4.43 Beckham, 4.39 Coleman. Vertical, 38.5 for Beckham, 40.5 for Corey Coleman. Broad, 122 for Beckham, 129 for Coleman. He's an explosive athlete who plays bigger than
his size. I think you're misquoting. I don't want to steal 0.4 seconds from the guy. I saw 4.35, folks.
Okay.
And here's what a lot of misconceptions about size. And I thought, you know, this is something I knew about Corey Coleman, why I wanted him, because of his speed and how explosive he is. The vertical, the broad jump, you know, the agility, so on and so forth. I can see that in my mind the same way we saw Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones running those crossing patterns in the Cincinnati offense. I can see Corey Coleman now in a Browns uniform doing that. But even more so, what I get excited about is the fact that for the first time, and it goes back to my point, is for the first time, we got the pick of the litter. You know, yeah. And we didn't know if it was 13 to get to the Dolphins spot to take that guy. For gosh sakes, you know, Todd McShay had us going 8 and taking Josh Doxson. You know, to guarantee we get the number one receiver.
I wonder, that's an interesting question. I guess it doesn't really matter. We'll never know. But I really think they might, if they stayed at 8, they might have taken him at 8.
I think it's certainly very possible.
I think that's the guy they wanted.
I think it's clearly the guy they wanted at wide receiver. They knew they could move back to 15. By the way, they traded an unproven rookie right tackle, Jack Conklin, for a second-round pick and a third-round pick, in essence.
Right, which is crazy when you think about the fact that, like, what actual players garner in trades is so much less than that.
Yes, correct. So what they did, to go back to the original point, 2 weeks ago they had the number 2 pick in the 2016 NFL draft. After the first round of the NFL draft, they now have Corey Coleman. They now have an extra third-round pick in this year's draft, a second third-round pick in this draft. They have a 2017-1, a 2017-2, and a 2018-2. So they've turned one pick, the second pick in the 2016 NFL draft, into Corey Coleman, a future first, 2 future seconds, and 2 third-round picks this year. That's amazing when you think about it. One player into 6 for a team that has needs. They got the guy that they felt was the most. They felt that was a guy that, you know, was the most explosive wide receiver at their biggest position of need, and are going to have 5 other players in the top 100 of the next 2 drafts, plus some this year, to help this team. It's unbelievable that they were able to do that and get what they wanted. Still, I'll tell you, when I was watching it, when Elliott went 4th, I got nervous because I said, okay, there goes the most logical trade guy at 8. Then Tunsil has the gas mask video, which, by the way, what his stepfather did to him, I consider a murderous offense. We don't need to even get into it. It's ridiculous. But when he fell, then I said, nobody's trading up for him. So who would the trade be? And I got a little nervous. I thought maybe we would just sit there and take an offensive lineman. And instead, they traded up for Conklin. We got a king's ransom for him. And I think they are in certainly very, very, very good shape now.
And I honestly, in our draft show on Monday and this show all week, as you talked about trading down and potentially taking that wide receiver, what are the two spots that we had in mind that best fit moving up to take a player inside the top 10? 13 to Miami, if Ezekiel Elliott was on the board, or 15 with Tennessee to maybe take Laremy Tunsil if he was on the board. They might have been scared off because of the video and everything that happened, so they went next best, Jack Coughlin, because Stanley was already off the board.
Yeah, and apparently they actually really, 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 really like it. You know, they really liked Conklin, and they felt they had to come up to get him. I wonder who they thought would take the tackle in between.
Well, I think the New York Giants were rumored.
The Giants wanted Leonard Floyd.
Giants wanted Leonard Floyd, yes.
And it got out, and it cost them.
Yeah.
That's why Chicago jumped them. But certainly it was very, very it was very, very interesting to see how it all played out. And for the Browns, as a Browns fan, you've got to be, I think, you don't have to be happy. You could do what you want. Gibbs, do we have our new drop?
No, they got to be happy.
Gibbs.
Yo.
Do we have our new drop yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, God, it would have been perfect.
Getting
for
into
today.
The studio today is a little difficult. We had a lot of stuff going.
I do think people ultimately need, you know, you don't need to be happy, but I think when you look at what the Browns were able to do,
no, in they terms do of need getting, to be happy.
Everybody can do whatever they want. They can live however they choose to live.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Someone that's fired by an organization typically is not going to sway on the side of judging in that organization's favor.
No, Joe Banner has
been. Joe Banner said that the Browns trade down, he's never seen anything like it in his entire career. Now, this guy is not going to go out of his way, although he's a very fair, honorable man, and I think he does a good job of being down the middle.
But he doesn't know us anything.
He doesn't. In fact, you could say the opposite.
Correct.
And he is saying that the Browns, it was the greatest trade down in history, he's saying.
This is what Joe Banner, some of the tweets from Joe Banner had to say. Football Perspective, by the way, said the Browns were a very smart trading team. Joe Banner said, basically, it's amazing. The Browns completely dominate the first round. The football guys and pundits don't seem to have even noticed. Aaron Nagler, whose opinion I value very much, said the Browns are killing it. Stop and take notes. Evan Silva, who has been very critical of the Browns, said the Browns absolutely far and away won the first round. Banner saying they turned the second pick in the draft into 2 1s, 2 2s, 3 3s, massively more than anyone else got out of the first round. And you're right. Now, I do think he is happy to see guys that were his. You know, he and Alex Shiner were part of the movement to bring in that analytics department and to bring in guys like Ken Kovash, who was instrumental in this draft, like Kevin Mears, who we've talked about. Certainly that line of thinking is what led to Paul DePodesta being here. So I get that why he's excited for them. But he has been tough on the Browns as well since he has departed.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that if you are – there's something wrong with you if you think that the Browns didn't have a great
night
last night.
Yeah, and I think
– and by the –
go ahead.
Let me just, and you can speak to this. This is all to you up. Anybody who says that Corey Coleman is Travis Benjamin has not watched Corey Coleman.
Not at all.
Not even once.
Not at all. To me, Travis Benjamin, straight – he's a sprinter. He's a sprinter, straight line speed, deep ball threat. That's who Travis Benjamin was. Travis Benjamin to me, and because he became our number one wide receiver because of the last regime's inability to gain playmaking wide receivers, Travis Benjamin became our number one wide receiver and was forced to run routes that Travis Benjamin had never run before. He had to try to become the deep ball threat and the possession receiver at times in John DeFilippo's offense because there was no one else. Gabriel had an underwhelming second year. Hawkins was hurt. Hartline really came on a little slow, then got hurt, then came on at the end.
Yep.
So it's very wishy-washy. It's a lot of the reason why Gary Barnage became such a huge target for this offense. Corey Coleman, to me, is three players. May not be, again, it's a little too much too early to tell, may not be Odell Beckham good, but the other guys that I know that you've said you've compared him to is Steve Smith. And the other player that I think Greg Cosell has compared him to is Randall Cobb. in the Green Bay Packers offense. So,
and I think he's more physical than Randall Cobb.
It might be right. Because Randall Cobb's a former quarterback.
The people that I've gotten the pro comp, I've asked a couple people, talent evaluators around the NFL. Steve Smith. He plays with that kind of tenacity. And here's a quote.
Does he have the anger of
The anger of Steve Smith. Here's a quote. He was. This is Kaz Kazadi, Baylor's associate athletic director for performance, talking about what happened in one of the games when Coleman started getting into it with an opponent who started mouthing off to him. He said he's not just yelling at him for that play. He's yelling at him for every thought he's ever had. He's trying to destroy that guy. The thing that frustrates him the most is that if somebody believes they can stop him, if you act like you think you can, that's when the beast comes out in him.
And what did I talk about a few days ago? And I'm not trying to just go off on tangent after tangent about being right, but there is no other place to go
for
Cleveland Browns is, did I not say we were looking for the alpha?
We got a couple of haters.
That's every time somebody calls up and hates, we're going to give them a couple of haters.
But, I mean, did we not talk? And this was more maybe a little bit defensive driven. And you don't expect your alpha to come as a wide receiver who's under 6 foot. But that mentality that you just described is the alpha that Corey Coleman may not be comfortable with bringing out but a few times here and there when the bear gets poked one too many times as a rookie. But he's going to get it's going to come out a little bit more as a sophomore, and it's going to be raging out and overwhelming into other players on this roster, as we have the 2 first-round picks next year and the 2 second-round picks next year who are going to come in and play immediate roles that alpha will spill over onto.
I retweeted an article from campusrush.com. I urge everybody to check it out about Corey Coleman. And here's what Josh Norris, remember we had him on, what was it, Tuesday, Wednesday, late this week about the draft. He said, never forget Art Briles, the head coach at Baylor, quote, describing Corey Coleman's competitiveness. Have you seen this, the kid?
No.
I would say no, since you're asking if he has the tenacity of Steve Smith. Here's what Art Briles, his head coach, said about Corey Coleman's competitiveness. And I quote, he'll pull your heart out and watch it stop beating. Josh Norris said he's my number one receiver on the board.
That's honest to God, that quote right there, he should have been that answers every question I have. If that guy has that type of motor, then there's no question. He had 20 touchdowns last year. I know he's playing for Baylor.
In 8 games.
20 touchdowns, and they played with the second and third string quarterback for a lot of the year.
Yes.
Let
20
that
touchdowns.
In. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk about the potential of trading down once again.
You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money.
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money.
Man, my eyes just got big when they called. As you know, Ohio number, they called me and I answered. They're like, you ready to roll? So I'm going to say, I'm ready to rock, you know. They asked me, did you work out today? I said, yeah, y'all have my heart over here beating at the workout.
Back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, and the kid, Gibbs. Let me ask you, how are you feeling at the end of last night?
I was fine. I thought I was worried that they weren't going to find someone to trade up with. And thank God Laramie Tunsil pulled a Darth Vader and smoked a bowl on video. That kind of helped the cause, I think. That put a little more urgency in Tennessee needing to trade up to get Conklin. Especially once Flat Stanley got drafted. They fleeced Tennessee. They, you know, you got a couple extra picks. You got your number one guy on your board. I don't know if he would have been my number one receiver, but you know what? It's the Browns' number one receiver on their board, and it's the number one player at that position that they wanted, and they got him. I think it's a great move, and on to tonight. You got to keep the momentum going.
What do you want him to do here, Gibbsy?
That's a big – I don't know if I want to trade that pick.
If you only had to go back 2 spots, would you do it?
I wouldn't go back more than 4.
I think there's 7 elite players left.
Who's your 7?
Noah Spence, Reggie Ragland.
Kevin Dodd.
Hunter Henry.
I like Hunter Henry. God,
I like Hunter
Henry.
Mackenzie Alexander.
I like Hunter Henry at 40 more than I do at 32.
Mackenzie Alexander.
Yes. I can't believe he dropped out of the first round.
I'm very surprised that he
Let
dropped
me tell
out
you
of the
something.
First
there
round.
There are 10 players that could have easily gone in the first round that are available.
Miles Jack. Again, it just comes out of the medicals. I don't.
Every team but the Patriots passed on him already.
A lot of teams, though, were seriously thinking about it. I don't think the Browns take that shot. I don't think that they take that shot. Then you could get into the Jaron Reeds, you know, the Mackenzie Alexander. I talked about him.
A'shaun
Robinson, Sterling Shepard. There are a lot of good players here right now on the board.
I mean, Von Bell at
safety.
There's
enough guys there, in my opinion. I wouldn't trade back more than five or six. But to me, and this is not statistically backed up, this is just me watching Clemson a lot. That Mackenzie Alexander, practices every day against the best. Clemson always has the best receivers. And the games I watched, he just looks like a stud. I think that guy is going to come in.
Is he a star?
I think he's 6'1".
He's a long guy.
And he can fly. I'd love, if they ended up with him, I'd be happy. But I think they could trade back a couple spots and still get him. Sashi's not done playing chess.
He is not. Everybody's playing checkers.
I don't need to collect fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks.
And the other people that are out there, they won't.
I don't.
Have they done that yet?
No, but I'm just saying.
What if they could get another three or another two?
That's fine. I have no problem with that.
I don't
want to trade so far back that tomorrow there's eight picks.
No, I agree.
I don't need any of that.
I don't need to trade back. If they have a list of seven players, then they could trade back in those seven spots. If let's just say that they do, they have five, maybe they have nine, whatever. And then trade back that amount of picks, get more assets, and get one of their guys. I also wouldn't mind seeing Noah Spence.
Spence is the guy that leaps off the page to me.
When he came into Ohio State, he was rated, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Buckeye, wasn't he rated right with Bosa?
He was.
So you're not talking about
they're going to build a defense around Bosa and Spence.
Right. Now, Bosa came out of the
Scotty Buckeye told me that.
Bosa came out of the gates a little quicker, according to M.G. Gottfried. But Noah Spence showed some promise and then, of course, had his problems. I like the fact that he took 20 drug tests by his choice.
And sent those
to the teams. Yeah. To me, he is not a risk. A guy does that, he's committed, and he's taking 20 drugs. That's not like taking a drug test, knowing the date of it, and passing it. This is 20 drug tests throughout the season. He's not a risk in my mind. And
so here's something interesting. The talk for the Cowboys right now is that they're moving up to 32 for a pass rusher, and they are targeting Noah Spence or Kevin Dodd. Now, Kevin Dodd's a 4-3 D end. They run a 4-3 in Dallas. That makes a lot of sense to me. If I'm the Browns, though, and I want Noah Spence,
Then you take him. Absolutely.
I think this pick, and I've texted a few people who are, you know, NFL insiders that have texted me back saying there are as many as eight teams involved in discussions for the number 32 pick. So you could have a bidder's market. If it gets to the point that somebody is willing to give you, and I've been told that this pick is considered more valuable than any of the pick in the 20s, which is interesting just because of the timing of
it. Yeah, you have the whole night.
That they think it's possible a future first round pick could be the compensation.
And do you believe
Gibbs, you'd have to be all about that, no?
I would. Yeah. Okay.
And
I don't even care if it's an 18 first.
No,
to
I don't
be perfectly honest.
Whatever. That's fine. And do you believe, just for people who are staying abreast to this situation, that the closer we get to 8 o'clock, you know, you might go from eight realistic opportunities down to three, but then that true bidding war of how bad you want to get
two.
To 32.
Right.
Right? Exactly. You only need two against each other. How bad do you want that guy, and do we take it to 8 p.m. as close as we can to make a move so that Roger Goodell or whoever it is announcing the second round announces that trade immediately and just soon before the kickoff of the network?
And by the way, I've heard that Houston wanted Corey Coleman above anybody else, and once he was off, they went Will Fuller. They felt the need for speed opposite DeAndre Hopkins.
You know, you made an interesting point about a 2018 first-round pick. I think it was Bill Barnwell that said people just don't value the future picks, and it's stupid. It's like the value of a first-round pick is the value of a first-round pick. Just because it's a future asset doesn't mean it's any less valuable than, you know, if you're really looking at things from a value perspective. And if someone wants to give us an 18 number one so we could go the next 2 years and having two ones and two twos in both drafts, good by me.
Yeah. That would give you two ones and two twos in 17, and 18.
Absolutely.
I think that the opportunities are there. At the same time, I want the Browns to take top talent. And if they feel
they have to.
That they can move back and still get that, that's one thing. If there's a guy on their board, though, that is top 20 on their board and nobody else is in the top 30, I would take that guy.
And if I would love to know what our doctors have said about Miles Jack, because if they think Miles Jack can be healthy.
And here's the interesting thing with because
I'm not expecting Miles Jack.
Miles Jack's agent is the same agent as Hugh Jackson.
I'm not expecting Miles Jack.
I mean, I know, and probably the medicals are not showing up well, otherwise he would have been drafted. But if that guy somehow has the capabilities to come back, he is a prototypical football player. The 2016 prototype of a defensive player in the dictionary is Miles Jack.
He's obviously
a defensive Bo Jackson.
It's been said that teams are scared because it's not a matter of if he will have a problem, it's a matter of when. And I think that the reports are that it's, you know, 5 years out there, but it could happen tomorrow. It could
teams
happen
teams were
in a week,
scared about Steph Curry's
and
ankles.
You're right. And I just even thought what I read on Pro Football Talk was that, and I don't recall which team it was. Oh, it was the general manager of the Carolina Panthers, you know, who drafted obviously extremely late, talked about that Miles Jack opening his mouth about the fact that it's almost a reality or certainty that microfracture is in his future, and almost how committed Miles Jack is to that surgery also scared people off of him as well.
People actually, somebody said something interesting to me, that they feel that Jalen Smith's injury, you know, it will get better with time, whereas Miles Jack is just continually getting worse with time.
Okay, then give me Jalen Smith. I mean, I'm fine with that too. Maybe it's a little early
with the three
him.
With the three threes. Jalen Smith in the third round.
If he's available in the third round, somebody better be pounding on the table for him, because you're talking about arguably the best football player in the country.
You're going to get, in my opinion, you are going to get Jalen Smith going I think he goes second or third. Jack, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes. By the way, for people who, you know, Bleacher Report, where they, Matt Miller, who we've had on NFL Draft Scout, his NFL comp for Steve Smith. Corey Coleman was, in fact, Steve Smith, round one rookie starter. And we've got Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus now joining us on the hotline. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. First of all, your reaction to the Brown selection of Corey Coleman.
I liked it a lot, and if anybody saw my mock draft earlier in the week, my final mock draft, I had the Browns taking him at 8 overall, so the fact that they were able to trade back, accumulate even more draft picks, and still get a guy that I think was a great fit and a guy that I'd be willing to take in the top 10, I think it's an outstanding pick. I really like what Coleman brings to the table. He was our top receiver, right up there with Josh Doctson, kind of a 1A, 1B type of situation, but I think Coleman just brings so much to the table with his athleticism, both before and after the catch. He separates as well as any receiver in this class. He's dynamic after the catch, and he has great downfield ball skills. I think he can win at any level. And I think it's a great pickup at 15 overall.
What was the reason that you pegged Coleman above all else to the Browns at 8? Was it just that he was the number one receiver on your board and this was the biggest need for the Browns? Or was there something you thought about his fit with Hugh Jackson?
It wasn't anything specific. I really thought that the draft after, say, 7 picks was going to get to a point between 8 and maybe 20 or 25 where there was a lot of interchangeable type of talent. So I went with guys that I had the top end of that interchangeable talent. It was Coleman, Doctson, Sheldon Rankins. Those guys were all in consideration there when I initially put the mock draft together. I actually didn't think it was a great spot to be in because of all the type of all the players that were available there. And so the fact that they were able to go from 8, move back, and still get that type of player, that just made so much sense to me because that was kind of the internal debate I had when I was putting a mock draft together. I don't love Coleman at 8, but if you can move back and get him, great pick.
As for most rookies, it takes a little bit of getting used to playing to the speed of the National Football League, and for him it's going to be, you know, getting off a press man. What are some of the things that, obviously we know all the things that you like about Corey Coleman, what are some of the things that Corey Coleman needs to develop to become the great receiver that we all think he can be in the National Football League?
Yeah, well, he definitely dropped a few too many passes last year, especially toward the, you know, the end of the year, the poor QB situation, but you just get a few concentration drops. And then the Baylor offense, I know you hear a lot about this, he doesn't run the whole route tree, but there's an element to that. With the Baylor offense, it's just spread them as wide, spread the receivers as wide as you possibly can, create one-on-one matchups, and chuck the ball down the field. It's like a 10-year-old playing Madden sometimes. You know, all four verticals, just go.
Yep.
And so there's an element to Coleman's game where he's just run go routes, curl routes, slants, and screens. It's really been a four, route system that Coleman's run. So can he run the deep dig route, the comeback, and some of the other routes that he needs to run in the NFL? I think he's fine. He has the skills to do it. He just has to get used to it, get used to that, the polish needed for a receiver. And perhaps the biggest thing, adjusting to NFL coverages, because Baylor created so many man coverage opportunities, they never saw zone. And we know that NFL receivers have to be able to read coverage on the fly, and they have option routes. You know, do you run a post or do you run the curl route, depending on the safety? You know, there are different things that the receivers need to adjust to that Coleman just hasn't done yet, but I think he has all the skills to do it at some point.
When you looked at this draft, and for me, I remember watching, as soon as Elliott went fourth, just like you, I was nervous about what was going on at number eight. For Tennessee to come up and take Jack Conklin, that was a big surprise there, but the Browns were able to negotiate through it. As someone who's observed many of these drafts, what do you think of the way that Sashi Brown turned the number two pick into Corey Coleman, a future first, two future seconds, and two thirds?
It's outstanding. That's how you build teams. You know, that is the way to do it. Was there a little bit of risk in maybe trading down and giving up the opportunity to go get a QB? Absolutely. But when I look at the two QBs, I really believe in Jared Goff.
Me too.
I believe a little bit in Carson Wentz. You know, I think there's still enough of a question mark to his game. I think the Browns saw the same thing. I think they would have jumped on Jared Goff if available. But I think the fact when they learned that Carson Wentz was definitely going to be there, you know, the guy that they would be stuck with, so to speak. You know, they moved to build the team the way you're supposed to, which is accumulating picks, bringing in as many draft picks as you possibly can, and then you try to get 3, 4, 5 players in every single draft, and that's how you build a squad.
Now, the Cleveland Browns, of course, hold the 32nd pick, the first pick of the second round. Nathan has reported that there's up to 8 teams that the Cleveland Browns have taken calls from with interest in that 32 pick. Do you think the Browns move back and acquire more assets or take their guy at 32? And then there's a plethora of talent still available with first-round grades that are going to now go in the second round. Who are some of the first few guys that you feel are coming off the board?
Yeah, I love a guy, Chris Jones, out of Mississippi State. He was a first-round talent for us. But I do think where the Cleveland Browns are right now, as you mentioned, you know, there were a lot of guys that went in the first round that I didn't think were first-round picks, which of course takes the guys that I think are first-round players, pushes them down. There's so much talent still on the board. I think almost always, strategically, it does make sense to move down, get as many picks as possible, see what sticks with your team. So it's as tempting as it is to maybe, you know, Chris Jones has the potential to be one of the best players in this draft, in my opinion, powerful interior defensive lineman, perfect fit for a 3-4 scheme. But that it's tempting to move down and get a couple extra players there. So I think that definitely should be in the cards for Cleveland.
So if you were the Browns picking at 32, that would be your pick?
Yeah, Chris Jones would be my guy. We had him as a top 10 to 15 type of player. He had our number 2 pass rush grade last year, and my favorite thing about him, 6'5", 315 pounds, he doesn't play with great technique or great effort, which sounds like a negative, which it is, but the fact that he's been so productive despite those limitations, that makes me think his potential through the roof. If you could tie up some, you know, some of that, those technique issues, the down-to-down effort level, I think Jones can be a special player.
What do you think about Noah Spence for a team that is in desperate need of an edge rusher? What do you think about Noah Spence here at this spot?
I like him a lot on the field. You know, the off-field stuff, of course, is the major question mark. But in a draft that's really lacking true edge rush talent, you have Noah Spence is up there. I think Shalik Calhoun doesn't get enough publicity, but he's up there from Michigan State. Emmanuel Ogba from Oklahoma State. That's a trio of guys that can get after the QB, but they're not really necessarily great against the run. But I think Spence could easily be the best of that group, has the burst, uses his hands well. He does have that explosive upfield ability. So I do think he'll be a good pass rusher at the next level.
What do you guys at Pro Football Focus think about Connor Cook?
I look at Connor Cook and I think there's just so much boom or bust to his game on a throw-to-throw basis.
Yeah.
You know, he's inaccurate at the short levels, but he will make as many NFL-type throws as any QB in this class, which is, you know, thrown with anticipation, leading guys into tight windows. And he's definitely willing to let his receivers make plays. And I think that's it's a skill, it's a mentality, it's something that can get him into trouble. You know, he throws a lot of interceptable-type passes. but at the same time, he allows his receivers to make plays. So sometimes that wins you games, sometimes that loses games for you. So I think that's what you have to understand. This is what you're getting in Cook, but if you can teach him how to cut down on some of those mistakes, I think he becomes a viable NFL starter, assuming all of the off-field leadership concerns are also taken care of.
Steve, when you look at the receivers, because I think the Browns are not done at that position. They have four picks today as of now. Could end up with more when it's all said and done. Who are some of the guys maybe here, if they move back in the second or in the third round, that you think would be pretty good players?
Yeah, it starts with Sterling Shepard,
yep,
who I think is the best slot receiver in the draft. Creates great separation, route running, impressive downfield ball skills. Think he can win on the outside just enough, too, to make him a little bit more valuable. The two Michael Thomases, Ohio State, you know, good shifty route runner, maybe the best on the outside at creating separation, just a notch below Coleman. And then Michael Thomas from Southern Miss, maybe the best in the class at making those contested catches when he's covered, jumping up over corners and making plays. So I think there's plenty of talent. Lante Carew from Rutgers as well, sure-handed. Yeah, he's kind of flying under the radar, but extremely productive last year, took over the Michigan State game and just dominated. So I think Carew flying a little under the radar against some of these other guys.
Steve, what do you make of Miles Jack and the free fall? I mean, a guy that, you know, months ago was going to go in the top five, maybe even number one overall, and here he is available on day two, and it doesn't even sound like teams are dying to get up to 32 to take him.
Yeah, I really feel for him.
Me
and
too.
Jalen Smith, too. I mean, you're looking at I love linebackers in today's NFL. Like, you know, when you have the three-down linebacker, look what Luke Kuechly does for Carolina. I think they're more valuable than ever. This was supposed to be this great class because of Miles Jack and Jalen Smith. It's unfortunate that they're falling. I hope that a team, you know, takes them off the board somewhat soon and takes the risk. And, you know, at the very least, let's get at least 4 or 5 years out of them. You know, based off all the reports, I feel like that might be his upside. But I do think that's worth a risk. I look at Tennessee, who has three picks out of the first 14, as a team that might be willing to take a chance on that injury.
Steve, a couple names that are also in the discussion for the Cleveland Browns. We're talking with Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Steve. Hunter Henry, the tight end of Arkansas, is he the kind of playmaker, mismatch guy that could really be a weapon for Hugh Jackson?
Yeah, he's the best receiving tight end in this class. He didn't drop a pass last year, only two in 2014, so he's sure-handed. He has just enough speed, I think, to stretch the seam and you know, do some damage at the intermediate level. So I do like Henry quite a bit. I don't think he's not a devastating run blocker by any means, but certainly in today's NFL, having that tight end mismatch is a huge advantage. So I do think I do like what Henry brings to the table.
Another name at the linebacker position, Reggie Ragland of Alabama, is a guy that certainly you think would make a lot of sense as the heart and soul of this 3-4 defense.
Yeah, Ragland's the type of guy, he just doesn't miss run fits. You know, he's just in the right place at the right time. I know there are some concerns about him in coverage. I think they're, you know, somewhat viable. He was never really challenged at Alabama, but I think he mitigates some of those concerns when he gets to the, you know, nickel and dime situations because he's a pretty good pass rusher. You know, he put his hand on the ground and rush off the edge at Alabama, and I don't think he'll necessarily do that at the NFL level. But because he had success against college offensive tackles, I think you can use him, movable chess piece on third down, isolate him on running backs, and I think he can have some success there. So I think he's a good two-down run-stopping type of player. Use him in a, you know, various roles on third down. He could play some zone coverage. I think he's going to be a solid starter, especially as a second rounder.
How much is that? How much is the late news about the enlarged, you know, aorta hurt Reggie Ragland, or is that medical a red flag by any means?
I actually hadn't heard that to this point. I've been catching up on everything, you know, still from yesterday. I haven't heard that, and I don't know how. Was that completely late for teams, or is that something that?
It's an enlarged aorta. It's nothing that would hinder him at all. It's just something that needs to be monitored.
Yeah, I'm no doctor, so I don't really know how much that. If you guys have any good answers, I'm not really sure. But look, you know, I said the same thing when the Tunsil thing came out. I feel bad for Tunsil, assuming a lot of this was him getting set up. But if you're an NFL team, you only get so many picks, and it does, you know, make them think twice about taking any kind of risks. I think that's why you see guys like Ronnie Stanley and Jack Conklin going in the top 10, because they're clean off the field with no issues, and teams, you know, they're risk averse sometimes. So I do think that stuff does factor in.
Certainly appreciate the time, Steve, and happy to see that at Pro Football Focus, the five best picks in first round, number three was the Browns selection of Corey Coleman. And you think about what they added in addition to that, hopefully Browns fans are feeling good about that. I appreciate the time, and you know, everybody can follow him at PFF_Steve. Should be an interesting day two for the Cleveland Browns.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Cleveland looking pretty good in a power position right now for this draft and in the future.
All right, we like that.
Thank you.
Sasha Brown in a position of power. That's what we like to see. Don't you dare be sour to kid. I see you're
happy over
there.
I'm not sour. I'm not sour at all. There's nothing to be sour about.
Yes, let's see what they get if there is an opportunity to move back, and I think there will be. It's a matter of I don't want to move back far. If they can stay in the under the number 40, I'm going to be pretty happy.
All due respect to you.
Yep.
I'll take Sashi's judgment about how far we're moving back.
Fair. As will I.
And think about this. We had one chance to trade back yesterday, and we still fleeced Tennessee. There was nobody else coming up for that pick. One chance, and we fleeced them. Now we got eight teams playing? Come on. This is going to be like chicken feed. This is going to be – I am now almost going to guarantee a trade back. If there's eight teams coming – we're going to get overwhelmed, and we're going to make another – it's just going to be glorious.
But would you rather move back slightly and take slightly
less –
Of course. Pick compensation?
You got to get another playmaker. You got to have a list of playmakers and make sure you get another playmaker. And whatever that means, trade back to the spot where you're –
pass rusher, playmaker.
Pass rusher, tight end, wide receiver, or my guy Alexander.
I would love to find a way to get Spence – somehow, and have enough to come back in and get Sterling Shepard.
I like Sterling Shepard. I liked watching him play in college, but I think our next receiver needs to be a little bit bigger. We've always had the corner on the market for the small guys. And I love –
we're not talking about Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel. So I was talking about a guy who's 6 feet tall.
I understand, but you at some point – you want a guy that when you're down and you're first and your third and goal from the 9-yard line that you're running that back shoulder fade to, that's 6'3", 6'4". And yes. I don't know, what is my guy Carew? What's his size?
Plays much bigger than his size, but he's 6 feet, 2'15".
And he's got a great nickname already lined up, Rod Carew.
I mean, yes. It's tailor-made for you.
Let me tell you something. He has only dropped two passes all of last year.
He let Rod Carew, a.k.a. Leonte Carew,
which is also a great name, Leonte.
Leonte Carew led the nation last year in yards per route run at 4.2.
What does that mean? Explain that to the common man.
So that means that he averaged producing 4.2 yards every time he just ran a pass route. Not thrown the ball. Every time he ran a pass route, he averaged 4.2
Cleve
yards.
Cleve T.A. sent me that same stat, along with credit to him for telling me only two drop passes all last
averaged
year.
Averaged over 20 yards a catch the last two seasons.
And he played on a horrible football team, by the way.
Did not have a great – was not a passing team, didn't have a great quarterback, etc.
Honestly, you could have beat out their quarterback.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
That was more of a dig at him than a compliment to you. But
listen, I'm going to take it how I choose to take it, and that's how I choose to take that compliment. Thank you very much. All right, we'll take a couple breaks. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. And then at 2 o'clock, John Morris, the radio voice of the Baylor Bears, is calling in to talk Corey Coleman, also familiar with Robert Griffin III. He'll be with us at 2 o'clock. There ain't no secrets anymore.
My name's been hanging on the hook outside. We felt that Corey coming out early, younger player, still has a lot to develop as a receiver, but brings some dimensions that you just can't develop in terms of his speed, his ability to attack the ball in the air for a smaller receiver, does not play to his size, plays above his size. We liked all those things about him.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. The kid has found his sleeper wide receiver.
A new one in the last 5 minutes.
A new one in the last five
You're
minutes.
You're welcome,
for you.
Kid.
You're welcome. That's right.
Wilhelm just made me aware of him.
The only place to go for everything NFL draft as it pertains to the Cleveland Browns is really pretty much this show.
Yes.
Everything else is hyperbole.
That's right. He was number 9 on my receiver rankings for this season. I like him. Size, speed, raw, though, raw.
What happens with Clemson receivers in the NFL?
They produce.
And some
produce
of them?
Or star.
Some
DeAndre
star.
Hopkins is a star.
Watkins chose
is going to be a star
over workouts.
Watkins been in the league for
Bryant,
2 years.
Not going to be on the field for
Martavis
the first four
Bryant.
Games.
Oh, Bryant, I forgot about him. I mean, the talent level of those wide receivers, bring it. That's who I want. Trade down and get me Sharon Peak.
No, he's going to be available. I think he might.
He's
going to
be
thirds.
Available in the third or the fourth.
Oh, get me him in the third, and I will dance.
How about Rod Carew?
Give me both. Can't have too many weapons.
That I do
you
agree.
You cannot have too many weapons, my friend.
That I agree with. All right, let's go to the phone lines now. I know people want to react. Let's get to them. Sean in Detroit, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to comment on Coleman's kind of off-the-field attitude. I think he's, you know, he's just an awesome guy, and for his age, he's so humble and mature. And I just kind of want to hear your opinion of what you think and maybe his potential is in being a leader in the locker room as well.
I think Matt already touched upon him being a leader in the locker room. He's described him as an alpha male, and I believe if he's good off the field, I really don't know much about him off the field, but I love his intensity on the
Let
field.
Let me say it again. He'll pull your heart out and watch it stop beating. That's
which,
what his college
right,
coach said.
Which is not going to happen as a rookie, okay? But here's how a guy who could potentially become your alpha, who has the attitude to rip your heart out and stomp on it, that carries over into this locker room. If you don't think that Hartline and Gabriel and Hawkins and any other wide receivers that we added to Terrell Pryor that are on this roster, that if RG3 and Josh McCown, that if Corey Coleman goes up and makes a catch, dunks on somebody with that 40-plus inch vertical, brings that ball down on a sideline grab in the back of the end zone in practice, that if you don't think those offensive players are going to get hype by the player that they have in Corey Coleman on the practice field, let alone in the game, that's all going to carry. That's what makes this fun. There was nothing better than seeing Antonio Gates go up and dunk on somebody in the back of the end zone. It's that, ooh, where you cover your mouth at the defender on whoever got dunked on, and the offensive guys would want to rub it in the defensive guy's face. That's the fun of this game, and that's what a guy and a playmaker explosive, both vertically, horizontally, and straight line speed will bring to this offense. And that's why Hugh Jackson, as I saw him right outside the draft room last night, as I was getting ready to grab Sashi Brown for a quick comment after the pick, was beaming because of the weapon. I go, we got this man a new toy. And he just had a big chuckle to him.
Have you ever seen a rookie come in and be an alpha, particularly on a team that has going to have so many young players?
No, because of the pushback of the other quote-unquote alphas that may exist in that locker room, whether it's by their vet status or by the true voice that they have in the locker room. He will have to earn the right to have the alpha come out more frequently.
I think he's going to have a natural swagger to him. That's what it sounds like. He is going to have a natural swagger.
Every first-round pick does.
He's got to produce.
But you have to prove it.
Right. I do think it's interesting, though. I don't think you're going to get as much veteran pushback in this locker room this year as typically because, one,
there's
I'll
no
give
veteran.
You a couple reasons. Number one, you've got Hugh Jackson here. Number two, you have got a situation where this team is saying the way that they are approaching draft and accumulating picks, that basically over the next 2 years – and starting this year, I mean, they can end up drafting 12 guys, 13 guys, who knows, 14, whatever, this year. They're saying, we're not satisfied with our roster whatsoever, so not a single veteran on this team should feel safe at any point about what they're doing. Because they're going to look to bring in over the next year. You have, what, a 53-man roster on game days? 46 are active? They've got 24, and they're not done yet. They could end up with 24-plus when we see the comp picks, et cetera. They could end up with 27 picks over the next 2 years. That could be... not that they're all going to hit, but they're basically saying we're trying to turn over in 2 years half of our game day roster.
And as we sit right now, and I think Sashi Brown said it in his pre-draft press conference, we're at 66, 67 bodies right now for voluntary minicamp and are here working out Monday through Thursday. We've got to get to 90 to start camp. 12 of those are going to be draft picks, and another possibly 12 are going to be undrafted free agents that we add to this roster. And as you said, they're not all going to hit, but you know what it says to me that if I were a part of this roster is
rent
I am on watch.
I am on
You're
watch unnoticed. Because there is a youth movement coming, and they were accumulating talent to take my job. I am on notice, so I will not be late to a meeting. I will not miss a workout. I will, you know, run to the football in the pursuit drill because there is someone that they're either going to sign as an undrafted free agent or draft to take my job.
For less money.
For less money.
Significantly less money. All right. We're going to take a break. Before we do, I wanted to share this comment from Bill Barnwell, who covers the NFL for ESPN. He said, fans comparing the Browns to the Sixers and stockpiling picks seems pointedly jaundiced, given the Patriots, Packers kickstarted their rebuilds exactly the same way. When we come back, the voice of the Baylor Bears, John Morris, will be with us to talk about Corey Coleman and what he's going to bring to the Cleveland Browns.